This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Rebecca Thiel. Coming up, WMUK's Erlene McMichael talks with representatives from a cutting-edge credit union that's trying to repair people's credit and help them avoid high-interest payday loans. But first, National Drive Electric Week starts on Saturday. To raise awareness about the benefits of electric vehicles, owners of electric cars and motorcycles will be offering test rides in Kalamazoo, South Haven, and Hastings. For the past 3 years, the Southwest Michigan chapter of the Sierra Club has hosted the event. I talked with the Sierra Club's Ben Brown. So what is National Drive Electric Week, and why did Southwest Michigan Sierra Club get involved with this?
National Drive Electric Week is a week in September. This year it's from the 9th until the following week. And it is primarily the result of finding that people who actually own electric cars tend to know more about electric cars than dealerships, because most dealerships don't have day in, day out experiences with electric cars for a year or two at a time.
You know, electric cars have really changed in the past few years. More companies are making electric cars now, and also the price has dropped. How so?
Okay, well, we've gone, in 2010, I think there were roughly three major makers, producing them, Nissan, Mitsubishi, and Tesla. And we've gone from those three to, like this year, 40 different makers of some sort of plug-in electric vehicle. In terms of costs, the battery costs have dropped. I believe it was, about $1,000 10 years ago for a battery capacity. That same battery capacity is now $300, and the price is still dropping. And that's where the major cost of an electric car actually is in the batteries.
How is that translated to the cost of the car?
So I'm trying to think of an exact number. I'm going to have to give you a rough estimate. So in 2012, you could buy a Nissan Leaf for $32,000. That would give you approximately 80 miles of range, 80, 85 miles of range. Today, for roughly $35,000, and it may actually go lower than that, is what I've heard, you could get the same company's car, Nissan Leaf, that would have a range of approximately 160 miles. And they claim more, but I'm thinking roughly about 160 miles. So the batteries, their performance has improved, the size has improved. Some automakers actually are doing, not so much in the U.S., but in other countries, are doing exchangeable batteries. Because electric cars, the motor doesn't really degrade. There's nothing, there's no timing belt, anything like that. The main heart that you have to worry about are the batteries. So if you can exchange the batteries and get a higher upgrade in batteries, you're going to get more mileage. It's kind of like getting a new car.
I guess we should explain. So what is the difference between a hybrid and a plug-in electric?
Okay. You can have a hybrid that uses an electric assist motor. It doesn't actually push the car. But then when you have a plug-in vehicle that uses a motor to actually drive the car, there's a little bit of a difference. And then you have BEVs, which is battery electric vehicle, that relies only on batteries to actually move the car.
And then that's, you know, charged by an electric charger.
Right. It's charged by electric charger. And you can also have the battery assist car charged by an electric charger as well. And charging is, a lot of people don't realize there's three different types of charging possibilities. Actually, there's maybe four, but three is basic ones, which would be your 110 outlet, which is your normal wall outlet. You can often charge a car from that. There's also 240, which would be comparable to like your dryer. Some welders will use 240, and that's the public chargers you'll often see are 240. And then there's DC fast charging, and that's a real game changer. And that's much higher voltage. I don't know the exact voltage on it, but the difference in the three different charging levels are, like, for my car, has a 16-kilowatt battery, it would take me 16 hours if I'm plugged into the wall socket at home to charge it. If I plug into my level 2 charger, which is 240, it would take me 3.5 to 4.5 hours to charge it from empty. And if I plugged into DC fast charging, it would take me 15 to 20 minutes to refill that battery.
Plainwell at Midway Chevrolet is also getting a DC fast charger. You know, it's also called a DCQC. What does that mean, DCQC?
DCQC is direct current quick charging. And that's a real significant event in Michigan. There's a term called the electric highway. And the electric highway is when you have enough quick charging units to be able to travel interstate across the country is the big picture. And there are many states that have, mainly on the West Coast and the East Coast, but people are putting them across the country. And it will make even my car a car that can travel across states reasonably well. Tesla has its own system, which is separate from everything I've told you. And those are free at the moment for cross-country travel. And most people who own Teslas travel across the country frequently.
One other thing that has changed in the past few years is also how far you can go without needing a charge, right?
Right. 10 years ago, 60 miles, 70 miles would have been the tested range for an electric vehicle. Now we're looking at cars that can go 230 miles. We're talking about highway speeds on a charge. And the average at this moment for most electric vehicles is between 110 to 130 miles on a charge. Most people in a day, though, only travel about 30 miles both ways commuting to work. So it's more than ample.
Now, some people have said, well, what happens if we get more and more people buying electric cars and then we have everyone charging at the same time? Is it like if I were to plug in my hair dryer while running the washer and the circuit would cut out? You know, what happens?
I think that's really a fair concern. I don't think it's necessarily realistic because, well, let's say all electric cars plugged in at 5 p.m. all at once, all the air conditioners were on, that would make a huge peak load that utilities would have trouble keeping up with. But the potential of electric cars is this. They can charge when you're not driving them. And so you could, in theory, do off-peak demand. And a lot of utilities, especially California, the East Coast, they're realizing that is a tremendous money saving for them because they don't have to have additional generating capacity. And their generators are used much more efficiently. Their power sources are used much more efficiently, whether it's wind or solar or whichever. There's many different ways electric cars can actually save billions of dollars, actually, not only for the utilities, but also for the ratepayers. And so there's a lot of pluses like that. There's a term called flattening the duck, which is used when you look at peak demand. It actually looks like Donald Duck's head on a graph. And that's normally the peak demand is in the afternoon and the summertime, especially in our region, when everyone's turning on their air conditioners when they get home. But if you charge cars, let's say, during non-peak times, that peak in the duck's head begins to level out and actually becomes smaller because you spread the use or the demand for the utility out so they can operate more efficiently.
Electric cars are known for being green, environmentally friendly, but they still use energy. You know, why is this better to use energy generated by coal or natural gas rather than oil?
Well, some of that goes back to the fact of flattening the duck that I talked about earlier. So they have to have a baseline load all the time anyway, even if it's a coal-generated plant. And a lot of times that is energy that's not being used at night, and then it's being demanded heavily during peak hours, and they're having to buy a very expensive power. If they can use electric cars to level out the load, it saves them money and makes it more efficient to use. In addition, year by year, our generating capacity is becoming cleaner.
I did a little bit more research on this. According to the Scientific American, how green your electric car is all depends on where you get your energy from. If it's mostly coal, you could be polluting more than a gas vehicle. Natural gas generates about half the emissions, and renewables and nuclear power have little to no emissions at all. Consumers Energy customers in Michigan get a mix of 36% natural gas and 21% coal. The rest is mostly from renewable and other low-emission sources. As coal plants shut down, we'll likely see the environmental footprint of electric cars shrink, too.
We're actually using less coal. We're using less natural gas, even. In fact, wind and solar are becoming progressively cheaper and a great way to actually store energy, because sometimes you'll produce power and you don't have a need for it on the grid, but if you store it in your car, you've just made good use of that resource, and you don't have to buy additional battery sources or ship it across country to make use of that power.
Do you think that there has been a bit of a struggle with the electric market and how it relates to the big three, GM, Ford, and Chrysler?
There has been, I think, some concern on the big three automakers' part in terms of how that will change their business model, because it is a different business model with electric vehicles. And so I think there's been some resistance in some factions of the big three. In other areas, the big three has definitely contributed to a lot of research on expanding the electric vehicle market. It's actually kind of a dynamic situation at this moment, because you'll find the big three aggressively selling electric cars on the West Coast and the East Coast, but not so much in the Midwest. And the thing that was surprising even to dealers like manufacturers like Nissan is that there was such a huge demand for electric cars. They saw 3 years ago when we had our first electric drive week here, Nissan had seen the number of people that signed up to attend, and they actually sent a regional rep to find out if there was an interest in rural Midwest, at least from their viewpoint, rural Midwest. And they were so surprised, they said it actually bumped us up in terms of infrastructure support and even perhaps like rebates and things like that. And so there's more demand than people realize for electric vehicles, and I think like the big three are slowly catching on to that.
Now, I've heard that Detroit is actually doing some pretty innovative things with electric cars. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes. In fact, I think across our state you're seeing more and more support and investment. Cities like Detroit have committed to having 10% of their future fleets being electric vehicles.
Now, their fleets? What are we talking about there?
Like your city cars, like the city of Detroit will have their own vehicles. And that may be anything from police cars to parking cars, the parking administration. So 10% of those cars will be electric. And so they're moving in that direction. We have somewhere around 14 cities in Michigan have committed to the Paris Agreement. And to meet those goals, part of that will require them to have electric vehicles within their cities as well, support for that. So policymakers, some utilities, again, like DTE, consumers, and individual groups like our own groups are all moving to support electric vehicle adoption and understanding.
Ben Brown from the Southwest Michigan Sierra Club, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
The Southwest Michigan chapter of the Sierra Club is hosting events for National Drive Electric Week. It will be at the Hastings Library on Saturday, the South Haven Library on Monday, and at the Western Michigan University Physical Plant on Wednesday in Kalamazoo. All events are from 5 to 7 in the evening. For West Southwest, I'm Rebecca Thiel.